on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Basketball in March.
The Top 25 Rundown presented by The Sportscast.
This is the Top 25 Rundown. And here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is March 27, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. We are also on DAB Digital Radio. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast. Also, you can visit us on the sportscast.net. Also, follow us on Twitter, the Sportscast One, and check out our app, the Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. Later on, I hope to be joined by Bob Alves, and we will enjoy going through our brackets because, well, they both had some carnage since the last time we talked, and we'll see how we're going to pick up the pieces and how we're going to go from there. I have myself done a few of the second chance brackets, so we're going to see how that goes and keep that in mind. One thing I know Bob may mention about is Caitlin Clark today was Ice Cube announced that they offered to have her be joined the Big Three. They offered her $5 million. That, and as you've been watching the NCAA tournament, you've been watching different teams lose their coaches. They're talking right now about how Baylor's assistant Jock is going to be the FAU coach. Also, the Virginia Tech women's coach has decided to go to Kentucky to be the head coach there. So, going to see how that goes and keep track of that. So, we also have the NIT going on right now. And the only game for that that's happening right now, you have VCU losing to Utah 52-35. Seton Hall beat UNLV 91-68 today. Yesterday for the NIT, Georgia beat Ohio State in a close one 79-77, and Indiana State beat Cincinnati 85-81. That's going to have Georgia and Indiana State going against each other in the semifinals. And the winner of VCU and Utah will face Seton Hall in the other one, and then see the final coming for that. We had the wrestling championships over the weekend, and we'll get into that. We also had Ohio State women beat Wisconsin for the Frozen Four championship. In regards to how wrestling turned out, Penn State actually became the first school this year with 2 four-time champions, with Aaron Brooks and Carter Sturucci both winning their 4 titles. So those are 2 of the champions. Let's at 197, Aaron Brooks with Hilda, Trent Hidley, 184, Carter Kickenstein. He won. Heavyweights, Greg Kirkley added the title of heavyweight over Lucas Dawson of Michigan. He won 13-4. 197, Aaron Brooks beat Trent Hilde of NC State 6-1. At 184 pounds, you had Parker Kexing from Northern Iowa going against Dustin Plott of Oklahoma State. He 14-5. Rocco Welsh from Ohio State went against Carter Stroke. He won 2-0 and became 4-time champion. Mitchell Resenbring went against David Carr of Iowa State. And Carr won his national title 165. Levi Haynes at 157 against Ja'Cory Teamer of Arizona State. He won 4-0. Caleb Henson went against Austin Gomez of Michigan, and he won 15-7. Jesse Mendez won with a late pin of Bo Bartlett of Penn State for the 141 crown. Jaden Fitz of Oklahoma State won against Vito Arojao, and Arojao won 5-3 for the 133 pounds. And then for 125 pounds, Drake Ayala won against Richard Figueroa, and Figueroa won 7-2. Speaking of heavyweights in a good way, we have Mr. Bob Alves with us. How are we doing, sir?
How are you?
I am here. I was just going over a recap of the wrestling championships. I don't know if you saw them over the weekend.
Did not.
Well, the one thing that I noticed was Virginia Tech, they had Caleb Henson go against Austin Gomez. And when Henson beat Gomez, they mentioned about how Henson came out to Enter Sandman and just how the way everyone was reacting was just like how it was at a Virginia Tech football game and how excited everyone was and just how Virginia Tech is a family and just how they promote that atmosphere. And I know that you are a, you could say, relatively big Hokie fan at times, so I thought you would appreciate that. So, how bad did your bracket implode this week?
I'm still good. Still got all my Final Four left.
That's one of us. That's one of us, sir.
So, now that might change after tomorrow, but, you know, because we're recording this on a Wednesday. So, as of now, though, all four left. Don't
yeah,
talk to
for
me about
me,
the bracket. That's not as good.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So, but let's see. For my East bracket, I did correctly pick UConn, San Diego State, and Iowa State. I was incorrect about Duquesne in Illinois. So we'll see how that goes. In the South, I was wrong about Houston.
Yep,
and
I thought about you on that one.
Yep, I figured you did just because, well, I went out on a limb and said that was going to happen, and unfortunately it didn't. But you know what? You win some, you lose some. I'm okay with that. It was still worth the risk of trying. I did correctly pick James Madison over in the first round, though.
Yep, I had that. The only big one I've lost is South Carolina.
For me, it was Kentucky. How they laid the egg against Oakland. I mean, granted, the one player for Oakland, he did hit 10 three-pointers, but you got to think Calipari should have done better. But that's
tournament
just my
will make
point
you
of
or
view.
Break you. And, you know, I think there are a lot of coaches that have won the tournament that, you know, are not really Hall of Famers. But then I think you have a lot of people who've won the tournament that are Hall of Famers. So, you know, everybody wants to pile it on Tony Bennett. And I even read a friend of mine on Facebook put, if you're a Virginia fan, would you trade the national championship for what's happened in the course of the whole tournament regime with Tony Bennett? And I don't know how you can. I mean, if you win a natty, you win a natty. I mean, I don't care if you lost in the first round. I mean, Purdue could easily do the same thing this year that Virginia did. So, I mean, you know, I think personally, I don't care if you lose in the first round. If you win a natty after that, so what?
That's fair. I mean, if you ever win a national championship, no matter what, your name is always going to be there, and you'll always have a thing where you're a national champion, even if you don't always tell people. If people decide to look you up, like, oh, hey, look, he won a national championship.
I mean, again, I'm not going to say, like I said, I think there are some great coaches that have never won a natty. I think there are some coaches that have won a lot of natties. Some coaches, I think, are defined by their tournament performance. Some coaches are not. Let's be honest. I mean, just using the old Bob memory, Bill Self has lost quite a few first-round games in, it seems like, the last 10 to 15 years. I mean, you know, it seems like there are guys that have been bounced in the first round that I would call really good coaches. Calipari is going to be bit by a little bit of, you know, when you use the transfer portal and the one-and-dones like they do, more than one-and-dones, honestly. I mean, you're going to get bit every now and again. But, you know, I think the tournament is becoming – it's still a favor amongst fans, but I don't think in the grand scheme of things – it's a definer for the season of college basketball, because I think we've gotten so football heavy in this world of college sports. And the NIL is, I mean, in my opinion, I don't know if I'd use the term destroy or what, but it's changing the landscape of college sports a lot.
That's fair. That, and then also, I mean, you know that they're trying to do that pay-to-play tournament earlier in the year. So we're going to see how that goes for college basketball. One thing that I wasn't sure if you saw, but Washington State, their athletic director, jumped from Washington State to Washington. So we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, they also got a new basketball coach at Washington State as well, I believe. So, you know, I mean, Washington State, it's not a place that's desirable where people are just going to say, wow, I want to go play. Because it's not in a major metropolitan, but yeah, I'll take Washington State for who they are, because I think they do a lot of good things.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I just am kind of conflicted about is because for just how Washington State and Oregon State are technically the Pac-12, just watching how they're trying to figure things out and how it's. Honestly, it seems like it's imploding more than anything.
Yeah. No, you bring up a great point.
So, I mean, we'll see how it goes, but I am definitely not going to hold my breath. I think that'd be a little dangerous, though. All right, going down to the Midwest bracket, I did not. Utah State did beat TCU. Texas did beat Colorado State. So that's not too bad. But the West region, how I picked St. Mary's, that was wrong. I picked New Mexico. And then I picked Baylor. So those kind of did me in now.
Yeah, I did have Baylor over New Mexico. Yeah, I mean, Clemson looks like they're on a mission right now. The thing that worries me about some of these teams is when they get to a point to where they have a little time off, I think it almost can kill momentum sometimes. I'm really interested to see how Clemson does against Arizona. And, you know, NC State also has the same issue. They're going to take on Marquette, and I'm very interested to see how that works out too.
Yeah, it's going to be a death and bloodbath starting tomorrow and Friday. So we're going to see how it goes. And I don't know about you, sir, but I did make a few of the second chance brackets just to be on the safe side.
Nope, I go with the integrity, and that's it.
Well, now here's the thing. Have integrity, because I made this one of them. I made the same practice I have done here, but I did some variety only because, well, might as well for the second chance, since, well, with my bracket how it is right now, I've got three out of the four teams, but I'm still not as I don't know if I'm saying confident, but I enjoy trying to play devil's advocate, and the second chance is a way to do it. But
yeah,
I'm still sticking with my original bracket.
Right, and I think what I meant by the integrity is some people will fill out multiple brackets, and I'm like, you got to go with the one. I mean, you know, like when people fill out multiple brackets, I don't get it. Second chance, I'd probably be more up on the second chance if my first chance had gone to pot. But since I've still got the final four left, and I think I've got seven of the eight, and I'm not in any recreational pools, I'm good.
I can agree about that, and it's just it's a plus. So we'll see what happens. Now,
yeah, I've got seven of eight. The only team that really has hurt me was University of South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be something. That, and I did tell before you came on, I don't know if you saw what Ice Cube put out today, but he talked about how he offered Caitlin Clark $5 million.
I heard about that for the big three.
Yep.
I'd take it. I'd take it all day, every day. If that's legit money, I would take it in a heartbeat.
Well, I mean, it just depends on WNBA, but yeah.
She's not going to make $5 million in WNBA.
She definitely won't. That's for sure. But it just...
I mean, as long as you can do endorsements and advertisements, which I don't think Ice Cube can have a problem with, I'd take that $5 million, go play in the big three, and, you know, do my advertisements.
That is fair.
I think people need to calm down on the Caitlin Clark stuff a little bit, because I think Caitlin Clark is great. I think what she's done is good. You know, but at the end of the time, there have been a lot of good women's basketball players. And unfortunately, women's basketball will get hot here and there, but I just don't know that it can sustain. It's almost trying to break into a market to me. Like, you know, it's not Pepsi. It's almost Crystal Pepsi at this point. And Crystal Pepsi is not on the market anymore. And I hope it does well. I'm not saying, hey, I've got two daughters. I love women. I absolutely am a big fan of women. I mean, you know, go girls. But to sustain popularity, I had a friend, and I'll ask you this question real quick. I had a friend mention, and, you know, I have more of an interest in Virginia schools because I live in Virginia. But he said that if we were to do a Mount Rushmore of Virginia Tech, only what they did at Virginia Tech, it's not what they did in the pros, anything like that, and it's players only, he would put Liz Kittley in the Mount Rushmore. I can't do that.
Who would you put?
Michael Vick, without question. Okay. Bruce Smith, without question.
Okay.
For me, I would probably put Bimbo Coles or Dell Curry or Ace Custis. I'd put one of those three. Probably, I think you definitely got to put Bimbo. But see, then it gets into what era did we live in? If you look at the numbers, Alan Bristow, who was later the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets and had an NBA career, his numbers are outstanding. I didn't see him play, though, so I can't say he's in there. But, you know, I look at that 95 Tech team that went to the Sugar Bowl with, like, Corey Moore, Jim Druckenmiller, John Engelberger. They, to me, kind of put Virginia Tech football on the map to where – I'm not saying they put it on the map to where Michael Vick wanted to go there, but Virginia Tech made the Sugar Bowl. A lot of schools up to that point had not made a Sugar Bowl or a Rose Bowl or an Orange Bowl or a Fiesta Bowl, something equivalent. So I'd almost have to give one of those guys credit. I'd probably lean towards Corey Moore, if you want me to be honest. But I just think outside of, you know, some of the girls that have played at Tennessee or UConn and maybe Cheryl Miller at USC, I think it's very and Caitlin Clark now, no doubt. I think it's very tough to put a college basketball player, female, on a Mount Rushmore, because if you do that, you're basically saying all the other programs at the school, male-wise, are trash.
I don't know if I'd put it just like that, though. I think that's a little bit harsh, honestly. Because here's how I would look at it from my point of view, okay? I think what your friend was saying, that when you think about a lot of stuff at Virginia Tech, you think about the domination of the male sports, yes. But the amount of publicity that Keeley has brought to Virginia Tech, you haven't seen that in a while. And so maybe, I mean, it could have been partially the coach as well, who now is going on to Kentucky. Good luck to him. But Keeley was the person who was the main focal point, the person who you looked at the last few years, who at times kept Virginia Tech in games when you didn't think it was going to completely happen. So I see where they're going with it.
I understand, you know, and the thing about it too is Mount Rushmore's, and these are opinion questions, and we don't have to agree. Mm-hmm. I almost like it better when we don't agree, to be honest with you. But I would say this. Where do you live? I don't need a specific address, but just what state do you live in?
I live in Northern Virginia.
Okay. I live in Virginia too. So we are going to maybe elevate a women's basketball player in Virginia. Do you have any friends that live in the Southwest or Western part of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
Ask them if they know who Liz Kittley is.
Okay.
I mean, because see, that's my thing. I think if you get into a sport that is not a football or basketball, and I'm not saying you've got to put four people from football or basketball on there. I mean, unfortunately, other sports just don't have the popularity. So to me, my I'm getting all choked up. It's an emotional moment for me. To me, the Mount Rushmore, you've got to look at it as who brought attention, who was productive. And everybody's Mount Rushmore is going to be different. And like I said, I think that's great. But we're going to probably put more people from outside of football or basketball on there, to where if we were in, oh gosh, I can't think of somewhere, but just take another state, for instance. And I mean, don't pick North Dakota, but like, you know, take Ohio State, for instance. It's bad. It's a bad example for you, but I mean, I'm sure if you had other people that were in Big Ten country and there was a great women's basketball player there, but not a Caitlin Clark level, you might have some people say, well, wow, this girl is on my Mount Rushmore. And we in Virginia might be like, who? You know, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, technically, you could even say Kelsey Mitchell, who had been at Ohio State, or Janelle Lavender. Those would be two people that, if you were going to look at for how they did as players at Ohio State, maybe two you could mention. Because, I mean, Mitchell was a third or fourth all-time for NCAA points scored. So,
And this is not a I hate Liz Kittley or I hate Kelsey Mitchell or I hate anybody thing. But to me,
it's just you're expressing your opinion. That's all.
If you and I have 10 categories of Mount Rushmores, I will bet you that we're going to be different on at least 8 of them. And when I say different, we're not going to go 4 for 4.
Yeah, probably.
My Mount Rushmore of the WNBA is going to be vastly different than your Mount Rushmore, I'll bet, because I'm almost going from when the WNBA developed, started, you know. So, like, yeah, I mean, I think if you and I picked 20 topics of college sports to do Mount Rushmores for, I'll bet you they're going to be vastly different, just because, you know, I mean, your Ohio State, I have a feeling that if we just took your Ohio State Mount Rushmore and my Ohio State Mount Rushmore, I have a feeling they're going to be incredibly different.
Probably.
So, yeah, I didn't mean to sidetrack us, but
it's okay. I mean, it's a discussion that deserves to be brought up. I mean, it really just, difference of opinion is not a bad thing. It just means that we look at things in a different point of view than other people will. And so when we do that, then when we're trying to figure it out, we are able to look and just discuss it. And not I mean, it's not like we're having...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's okay. I was just saying, it's not like we're having a discussion where you and me are standing around screaming and yelling at each other. It's just like, yeah, okay. I mean, it's different people, but it's something that you'll see for every sport, every school. Heck, even every profession, you're going to see people do stuff like that.
Mount Rushmores are filled with geographical, and I don't want to say age bias, but I mean, it's kind of like when I play my Immaculate Grid game, I'm putting guys from the 80s on there because I remember those guys, where other people are putting guys from like 2010 till present.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm going to put everybody from the 80s on Mount Rushmore just because, but.
I mean, it doesn't hurt because I mean, you'll know certain things they won't know. And so when they look it up later on, like, oh yeah, you were right.
I think it would be really hard if we did a Mount Rushmore of, you know, a certain team or a certain sport that had success in the 80s, but has had success or high draft picks now. And I think it would be vastly, vastly different. And, you know, like if we did a college basketball coach's Mount Rushmore, I'm going to put John Wooden on there. I don't even need to think about all four of them. I'm going to put John Wooden on there. I didn't see John Wooden coach. But I'm smart enough to where I've read, I've watched documentaries, I've heard what other people say. I've heard what people have said that played for him. I've heard what people have said that played against him. So, you know, and that's me. I'm gonna be a historical Mount Rushmore guy where somebody might for the UCLA put Lonzo Ball. I'm probably not gonna do that. But anyway, I digress. Got off on a tangent.
Well, I mean, it's been trying to put LiAngelo Ball, so you know what? We'll just probably can agree about that. But see, I mean, if you're going to do a coaching one, you'd have him. You'd probably have Dean Smith.
Yeah, there are
some that would think about Calipari, but I don't I would. I mean, you're going to love this. I would say Krzyzewski.
Oh, absolutely.
The final spot would be kind of tough because some people would choose Rupp because of how he was in Kentucky.
Fog Allen. I mean, I would probably put Bobby Knight on there. You know, first undefeated team was from Indiana. I mean, you know, but again, I mean, you're going to have so many different, and I think for a conversation like that, if you interviewed somebody from the Northeast, they might have Jim Boeheim on there. They might have John Thompson.
Or Jim Calhoun.
Or Jim Calhoun. I mean, Luke Arnaseca from St. John's. I mean, there's so many different ways we could go. I think if you interviewed somebody from – or interviewed somebody, had somebody from maybe the what area is Michigan in? I don't want to call
Midwest.
Okay, I didn't want to call it Midwest because to me, Midwest is – I was thinking Southwest, but whatever. Midwest. If you interview
North
somebody
from North, Michigan – how about that?
There we go. North, Midwest. If you interview somebody from Michigan, they're probably going to have Izzo.
Yeah.
Which fair. I can't say is wrong. I mean, if you ask me for my college basketball players, Mount Rushmore, I mean, gosh, I'm definitely having Ralph on there because he was the first two-time Wooden Award winner. I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit. But, I mean, you know, you could argue that Len Bias was one of the best college basketball players ever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, people are going to look at, you know, how he passed, which guess what? It wasn't during season.
Nope.
I mean, he was already – season had been done. I mean, you could argue you could put Hank Gathers on the Mount Rushmore. Now, he did pass during season. But, you know, I mean, I think it's fun to debate. I think it's fun to argue. I don't think there is a, you know – what's 2 plus 2?
Last time I checked, it was 4.
Yeah, it's not a trick question. You worried me there. You thought about it for a minute. It was an easy one. But with the Mount Rushmore, there is no 2 plus 2. I mean, you know, there is no right answer. And I think one thing I read, I think the great motivational speaker Zig Ziglar said it is, he originated it. Other people have said it since, but we have to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, my Mount Rushmores are always right, and everybody else's are second. So
I'll keep that in mind. How about that?
And you're always going to leave somebody off. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're always going to leave somebody off. So that's just the way it is.
That's right. I mean, that's why it's always better to have a conversation where you can just relax and talk about it. Because if you don't otherwise, it can be kind of ugly. Just my personal opinion, though.
I agree. Didn't mean to hijack everything with the Mount Rushmores.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But right now, let's go ahead and let's look at the implosion that is women's basketball. So for me, on the regional one, I did pick Michigan State to beat North Carolina. That did not work. I did pick Fairfield to beat Indiana. That did not work. I picked Oklahoma over Fairfield, which turned out to be Indiana, so that didn't work. I did pick Nebraska to play Oregon State and win, but Oregon State beat them. And I picked Marquette over Ole Miss, which did not come to fruition, unfortunately. How does your set look on that regional?
You know, I do it a little bit differently than you. I work backwards, and I don't really care how I did in the first round or two for this purpose.
Okay.
But I care when I lost a Final Four / national runner-up in Ohio State. I care about when I lose an Elite Eight. Let me see if I have all my other Elite Eight left. I mean, losing Ohio State was very, very painful for me. Let's see. I think I might have everybody else. I have in my Elite Eight, I have South Carolina. I know they're left. I have South Carolina over Notre Dame. They're both left, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have Stanford over Texas. Are they both left? I don't have the bracket in front of me. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm looking it up right now. Yes, they are both still here.
I have LSU over Iowa. I know they're both still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Ohio State over USC. I know Ohio State's not there.
Yeah.
USC's still there. Yep.
Yep. For regional two, I had it perfect, surprisingly.
I'm trying to think who else I have lost. I lost Florida Gulf Coast. I had them going all the way to Sweet 16. Let's see. But
I will say this.
I'm like you, maybe, to where I like to find that first round upset I had, just to say I had that upset. Mid-Tennessee State, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I had them over Louisville. And, you know, yeah, Mid-Tennessee State was actually – they were actually beating, I think, LSU in, like, the third quarter with, like, about 4 minutes or 3 minutes left. And I turned it off and did something, and I looked at my phone, and it was a 20-point game. Mm-hmm. And that just shows you, for a talented team – in women's or men's, it can get going in a minute. I mean, not literally, but the tide can turn very quickly. And, you know, LSU's no slouch.
Nope. I think that's going to be interesting. Yeah, for me, losing Ohio State and Virginia Tech, that did me in. But you know what? I still have South Carolina, Stanford, and LSU still in the mix. So
no, I have lost four of my Sweet 16s. I lost Gulf Coast. I lost Tennessee. I lost Tech. And I lost Ohio State. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. I think out of the four that I missed, I mean, obviously Florida Gulf Coast, I must have just been – I mean, that's like you picking Longwood over Houston. You got to pick – you picked a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think – and I know I'm – it sounds like I'm just like the biggest Hokie hater in the world today. I don't think we should be shocked. I mean, it's not a shock, an absolute shock that they got beat by Baylor. Baylor played really well too. And with Kittley
lost
out,
by three. Yeah. With Kittley out, that made the big difference. Because when you heard that she was out right before the tournament started, after the brackets already locked in, you knew people just were like, oh, crap.
But that Baylor Tech game, I think, was still a toss-up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I hate to use that old adage, but, I mean, you know.
But it's March Madness.
And, you know, here's the thing, too. I don't think losing one player hurts you as much in terms of that one player's production, but I think that one player can get the whole team out of rhythm, so to speak. And I'm not trying to blame Kittley at all when I say that, but I think, you know, other people look around, maybe they're like, oh no, Liz is not out here. You know, I mean, stuff like that. I think I think stuff like that messes with people's rhythm. It messes with, you know, maybe you are only expected to do A, B. Well, now you're expected to do A, B, C, and D. Well, I only do A, B. I mean, you know, I haven't been asked to do C, D. So I think that's where it gets into things with when you lose a star player.
That's fair. And I mean, we'll see what happens with that. But being another rebuilding and just seeing how the rest of it goes. Because it's...
Can I pose a question to you?
Go ahead.
Sweet 16 round, men and women's. Which game on each bracket are you most looking forward to? It doesn't have to be. I mean, it can be for whatever reason. I don't care if it's because you picked it. I don't care if it's because you think it'll be a great game. You can pick why you're looking forward to it.
For the Sweet 16 round, I would say that it's going to be...
I got my answer on both.
Okay, for the women, I'd say it's LSU and UCLA.
That's a good answer. For some reason, I'm looking forward to UConn and Duke. Just because it's a blue blood battle. I think UConn probably wins by probably at least 16. But I think it's just a blue blood battle of, you know, you got to remember too about Duke. Duke was very, very good in women's basketball not too, too long ago. I mean, it's not like it's been 40 years. Duke was very, very good.
Yeah, back when Elena Beard was there.
Yep. But no, I think that LSU UCLA game is going to be very, very interesting as well. I don't know that I can say I'm looking forward to South Carolina just because I think they roll. But I mean, when you have a team like that, I think you, in a way, you have to be looking forward to what that team is going to do. I mean, Iowa and Colorado, you've got to say I'm probably looking forward to seeing Caitlin Clark.
Did you see what her father did in the opening round game?
I did. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Because I mean, she's been doing that way too much.
Well,
I mean, if you looked at the disparity, like for the free throws in the two games, I mean, that disparity against West Virginia, that was telling.
Welcome to society that we live in. I mean, you know, that's just the bottom line, in my opinion.
All right, so for the men's Sweet 16, what game are you thinking?
For you or for me?
For you.
Oh, I'm thinking my pick is North Carolina and Alabama. The Alabama-Florida Gulf Coast game, or I'm sorry, the Alabama-Grand Canyon game was fun to watch. Grand Canyon reminds me of a lot of what Gulf Coast used to do, except instead of being Dunk University, they're three-point university.
Mm-hmm.
Because Florida Gulf Coast, or I'm sorry, I keep saying that, Grand Canyon did not meet a three they didn't like in that game against Alabama. I mean, they were shooting.
That's true.
Shooting them and jacking them. So you thought I was going to pick Duke and Houston, didn't you?
I thought it was possible. For me, I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to pick UConn and San Diego State since it's a rematch.
Yep.
So
I'll tell you what, UConn looked good against Northwestern. And, you know, everybody wants to bang the drum for Zach Edey, and rightfully so in my eyes, because that's why I picked Purdue. But UConn's big man, I thought, played very well against Northwestern.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I mean, keep our fingers crossed. But March Madness is coming up, sir. And
what was your Final Four in your second chance?
I Hey, can we go back and look? Let's see.
I think if I had to do a second chance, I think I would only make one difference in my Final Four, what I originally had. I think I would take Houston instead of Marquette.
Let's see, my second chance, I have in the Final Four, I have Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, and UConn. All four number ones to make it.
I think Carolina gets beat by Bama.
Okay.
I feel very strongly about that, by the way.
I mean, we'll see, just because Alabama, if their All-American hadn't stepped up, they would have been in serious trouble. Because after their other guy got hurt, 11, like 9 minutes in the game. So, I mean, I keep my fingers crossed, but it's going to be something, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't say that any game is flat out just not interesting. I mean, if you ask me who I would almost say is a, I hate to use the term shoe-in for the Final Four, I just don't see how Purdue doesn't make it there. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say the same thing about UConn. I think UConn's bracket is a little bit tougher with Illinois. I like Illinois a lot. I like Illinois a lot, but you know, I think Purdue. I think the winner of Purdue Gonzaga goes to the Final Four. And
I
you
agree.
Can call that my anti-Tennessee vote or my anti-Creighton vote.
It's okay, but no, I agree with that statement wholeheartedly because I think it's going to be something. So, all right. Is there anything else that you can think of that we haven't brought up that you were curious about for sports this week in college athletics?
New coach at Louisville today. Pat Kelsey from the College of Charleston takes the Louisville job. Dusty May from FAU took the Michigan job. Trying to think if there was anything else. I mean, FAU and Charleston are going to get, you know, up-and-coming coaches, I think. I'm trying to think of anything else. And USC is probably going to be open pretty soon because Andy Enfield is rumored to be going to SMU.
Yeah, I heard that.
So, you know, USC might be that one job that, you know, I don't live in Los Angeles for many reasons, but if people think USC is a good job, I would need documentation as to why. Because I'm not saying it's bad, but I just don't know that USC basketball is a job to where people are saying, man, I got to get that one. I mean, Enfield just wanted to get to LA, I think, from what I'd heard. I just don't know where USC would go from here, personally. But, you know. So.
I mean, he's had good job security while he's been there. And
yeah.
I mean,
is it good job security or is it people don't care? You know what I'm saying?
Probably both. Probably both, honestly.
I'd love to be in that situation, honestly. I mean,
so would I.
Well, Mark Byington took the Vanderbilt job, JMU coach. Honestly thought Byington would probably hold out a little bit because Vanderbilt's a tough place to win. I mean, it's not impossible, but how many coaches win at Vanderbilt? Not many for basketball and football. I mean, it's not a place where people just go and, you know, if you got paid for every win that you won at Vanderbilt, you would have a small salary because, I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. And they, you know, you can call them the Virginia or the Stanford of the SEC because their academics, I think, are tougher than other places in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I thought, I don't know what other college jobs are going to open at this point of big time. But I thought Byington to Vanderbilt was a little, I thought that was a little interesting. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little surprised that Calipari's back at Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. There's still time. But the other thing is, I saw that Long Beach State, they're going to hire a new coach after they fired their other coach who took them to the NCAA tournament.
Yep, Dan Munson. Dan Munson was in Minnesota. Yep.
Okay. I think he was there before Rick's son.
Oh, yeah. Richard. Oh, absolutely. I think Dan Munson was there. I'm going to look it up now, but I think Dan Munson was there before Clem Haskins. And Clem Haskins is when they went to the Final Four in like the late, I want to say it was either the late or mid 90s.
Okay. That's good to see. Yeah.
Dan Munson was at Gonzaga and then at Minnesota. He was at, well, he might have been at Minnesota right after Clem, actually.
Okay.
He was at Minnesota from 99 to 06.
Gotcha. Well, no, that's good to know. And then we'll definitely be keeping our eyes on the other coaching dominoes that are going to be falling and just seeing what happens for it besides picking the games. So.
Well, Virginia Tech women, I mean, they got to get somebody.
Yep.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're the guy that had been like the associate head coach or whatever under Brooks for a while went he was the head coach at Furman, and now he is the head coach, just hired, I think, today or yesterday at Clemson.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, unfortunately, I think women's college basketball becomes an issue on coaches when, like, you know, Kim Mulkey or Pat Summitt or Gina Auriemma. I mean, people like that. And, you know, the other thing, too, I think that we haven't talked about that we might want to discuss down the road is, you know, is the NIL running people away? And if it does, who's next?
Well, I mean, if it is, it can't be worse than the Alabama player who went to Iowa, got his NIL money, is now coming back to Alabama.
Well, I don't mean just for basketball, but I mean, you know, a lot of people are whispering that Saban left partially because of NIL. I mean, you know, to me, Calipari would thrive under NIL. But you can have the best individual players all you want to. If you don't have the best team,
doesn't do anything.
What does it do?
Nothing.
I think Tony Bennett eventually could be done with college basketball because of the NIL stuff.
I'd say he's going to wait at least a year or two, though.
You're on record, I think, is saying the NIL is out of control. As much as you talk about it being out of control, I think it's five times worse out of control than what you'd think it is.
Probably.
I mean, and I'm not saying that to be smug, but I mean, like, you know, I think the NIL is much worse than – I think it's out of control. That's a nice way I can put it.
That's fair.
Do you know who – by the way, quick trivia question for you. Do you know who succeeded Dan Munson at Minnesota?
Glenn Mason?
Nope. Basketball. This is a big-time coach. Because you mentioned Pitino earlier, but Pitino was after this guy. National title coach from 2007 to 2013 at Minnesota.
I'm drawing a blank.
Tubby Smith.
Yes, that's right.
I had totally forgotten Tubby coaching at Minnesota.
That's right. He coached there, then went to Texas Tech and fell in. Tried to drive a motorcycle onto the court, and that didn't go well.
Then came to Memphis.
Yeah.
And then finished it all up at High Point.
That's right. Tubby did go there.
I have heard Tubby is one of the nicest people you will ever meet.
Yeah, that. And then his son, Saul, was a senior at Kentucky.
Yep.
And when he would get to deal with everything he was going through,
Look up on YouTube at some point the 1995 Sweet 16 with Georgia and Syracuse. Tubby was coaching at Georgia, and that was just a seesaw. But I think the lead changed hands like three or four times in the last minute.
Okay.
So I always like to educate you. I'm like Sesame Street with you, Alan.
That's cool. Hey, you know what? I don't mind being educated as long as I can learn more about sports. That's what I always try to do. And so, I mean, that's why we always go back and forth like that, sir.
Yep. It's fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, that's why we do this when it works out. But that being said, I think it's time to wrap things up. If we were going to try to get a hold of you outside of here, how would we do so, sir?
The platform known as X, this handle is the Sports Buffet.
All right. For me, it would be alan.west46 on Facebook or Instagram. I do have X, but I have not used it in about 6 or 8 months. It is Alan F. West on there, though. But that is Bob. I am Alan. We will see you next week. Take care, everybody.